Hi, thanks for joining me for Bible study. This is the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Bible Study. And last week we looked at a chunk of John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16. And in our preaching service the following day after recording, I only made it halfway through my notes. So to keep you guys in synchronized with the Sunday morning study, we're going to take a little extra excursion in John chapter 16 to look at a word that gets translated a lot of different ways because there's not a real good equivalent in English. It is the word helper, because we're told in John 16 verse 7 that the Holy Spirit is called the helper. Some of your translations may say comforter or advocate or any number of those kind of things, because the word is one that is both kind of someone who encourages, someone who is there to keep you going. It's also one, it's kind of used like a defense attorney, someone who is there to speak on your behalf. An intercessor, which was one of the key words we've been looking at over the last two or three weeks. And then there's also an element of, in which it is someone who kind of is the fixer as well. One who fixes things that are beyond our skill set, beyond our abilities. And so wanted to spend some time looking at that word. And so we're going to back up two chapters. It's not used a whole lot in the New Testament. In fact, John is the only one who uses it, which makes for an interesting discussion. So John chapter 14, my notes say we're going to look at verse 16 first. So John 14, 16, and we see there where it says, I'm going to start in verse 15 because it's a good paragraph. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is Jesus talking. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so on our first occasion of this word, it's pretty insightful. What's interesting to me, though, is that it starts in a way I didn't anticipate it doing so. Jesus says, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he goes into this teaching. And so we're reminded that keeping the commands that Jesus gave us, including loving one another, to love God, you know, to keep oneself holy and pure, all these different things that he's commanded, is an expression of our love for him. And as we're still in the flesh, we kind of need help doing that as well, don't we? And that's why I think it goes to this, is that he gives this instruction, and then he says, and I will pray to the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So his response to our need is that he will pray, and God will send what would be needed, right? And that's where we get our word, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor. And I think we can see where all this is, I'll need an intercessor because I'm going to fail at loving and at keeping the commands. I need an advocate, someone to help me, a fixer, to help me in being better at loving and keeping the commands. And I'll need some encouragement because it's kind of a hard slog sometimes too. And so he'll be the one who'll be coming alongside, which is another translation of that word in the Greek. I'll need someone to kind of encourage and come alongside and to help me with that. And Jesus says, he may abide with you forever. Because Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And so you'll notice the word another helper. He was the original. He's the one who was there with them to encourage them and guide them and intercede for them. He prayed to the Father for them, which one of the things we're going to hear him say later on is that we won't need him to do it, even though he will still continue to do it, because the Father wants to hear from us as well, and we can go to the Father and ask for these things. That's a big help. It empowers us to pray. But Jesus is departing, won't be physically with them, but the Holy Spirit will be with them. And we're going to unpack that thought a little more. But the key in that is that it will be forever. He's the seal, the guarantee of our salvation. He's the one that sticks around. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth. And I think that word truth is one that can also be translated faithfulness. Faithful. He's going to help us be faithful, but he's especially the Spirit of truth. He's honest, integrity. And that's why he doesn't fit in with the world. He'll be in us. Did you notice that in the end of verse 17? He dwells with you now, disciples, but he will be in you. They'd been used by the Holy Spirit. They had done some miracles in Jesus' name. They'd seen him working through Jesus, in whom he dwelled. And soon he'll be dwelling in them as well, the day of Pentecost. And so Jesus can confidently say, you won't be orphans, I'll be with you. I'll be with you through the Holy Spirit. And so that's our first introduction to this word. But let's keep moving here. John 14, 26. And again, I'm going to read a little extra here. So starting in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And he goes on and talks about his departure. But this is where we get introduced to Jesus is departing. He's got to prepare them. But he's preparing them to have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Father will send the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And he will be more present than even Jesus can be physically. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, and the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. He's going to reveal things, especially through those apostles, which is why we have four Gospels, the book of Acts, the letters of Paul, plus the letter to the Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Jude, and the Revelation. Because he will not only bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, but we're going to read a little later that he's going to reveal things, things to come. And so Jesus is building on this here, but we just got a new element there in verse 27 of chapter 14, and that is the Holy Spirit is peace, the shalom, that comfort. That's why we can translate that word comforter, is that he is the one who gives us peace. And we have reason to not be troubled, nor to be afraid, because it is Jesus's peace he's giving us. He had peace in the midst of all the turmoil and trouble he went through in his life, because the Holy Spirit was with him, and he was walking in the Spirit. And we have the same, because of God's presence with us. Never alone, because the Spirit is with us, in us. A confidence that it's all going to work out, if not in this life, then definitely in the next, because the Spirit is with us, in us. He is our peace. And so, a lot of times we think, man, it'd been nice to have been there physically with Jesus, to have him with us. And I agree. But we're going to read here in a little bit, we got something better. And that's where we turn to 15, and 16. So we'll get to that here in a minute. But let's first look at 15, verse 26. This is our third appearance of this word. And here it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning." So when the Helper comes, because he's going to be sent by the Father, sent by Jesus, he is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. So he is with, he is of the same essence with the Father. And these are where we kind of get our Trinity thoughts here, is that Jesus came from the Father. And now we see where the Spirit proceeds from the Father. And so there is an amazing unity among the three members of the Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead. So there's distinction, but there is a oneness as well, of the same essence, same Spirit. The Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will testify, you will bear witness. Just testify of what we've seen and heard through the Holy Spirit who's in us, of what Jesus has done in us and for us. So then we come forward and we hit John chapter 16, verse 7. And this is the one we looked at a little bit last week. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So there was a lot in that one, wasn't there? But you now hear where I was getting some of the things I was saying, even if it wasn't in that verse, it was in these verses, wasn't it? That we see where the Holy Spirit, he's going to come, the Helper. It's to your advantage. This is better. And I think you can understand it with this illustration. The disciples were in Jerusalem hearing these words. We live in a long, lot of places a long ways from Jerusalem. Imagine if we had to all travel to Jerusalem to be with God. We don't, because the Holy Spirit has come to indwell in those of us who are born again. And so we can have God with us even now to empower us, indwell within us. We are little temples of God, little tabernacles, so that the presence of God is with us wherever we are, so that we too can be the presence of God to others. We'll walk in the Spirit, right? And so Jesus says, "I'm going to send him to you, and he's going to work through you. He's going to convict the world of sin," and we talked about that last week, where he's the one who, the sin of unbelief, he's going to convince people that that's not the right thing and that they need to believe in Jesus, of righteousness, that Jesus was the righteous one, and of judgment, that everything that's opposed to Jesus is condemned, because Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, the devil, all of it, even the world. And so that's a lot to take in. And Jesus knows that the disciples aren't taking it all in either. And so he says, "I got a lot more to tell you, but don't worry. The Spirit of truth, when he comes, when he has come, he'll guide you in this truth. And he will reveal. He will not speak in his own authority, but he will guide you into all truth." He helps us to understand God's word. "And he will tell you things to come." The prophecies of Jesus and the New Testament prophets and a revelation, all pointing back to what the Holy Spirit had revealed through the Old Testament prophets and how it all weaves together. But most of all, he's going to glorify Jesus. If it doesn't glorify Jesus, got to question what spirit it's coming from, right? And so we see a lot going on here. The work of the Holy Spirit. And there's other things to tell about the Holy Spirit. These are the biggies. But there's something else I think that's really valuable for us to remember. And that's our last occurrence of this word. As we're working with this word helper, advocate, the one who comes alongside, the fixer, the comforter, whatever you want to call him. Remember, he was called another comforter. But nowhere has Jesus really been called that, has he? Well, that's where it's kind of funny you should say that. Because he is called that, but not where you would think it would be. If you turn to the letters of John, 1 John as we call it, chapter 2, you'll see where he used it the first time. Because he wrote his letters before he wrote the gospel, apparently. Because in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we find that word one more time. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That's why John could have Jesus telling us that he would have another. They already knew his role and that he was the original. But even in writing, John is saying, I've told you these things before when I wrote my letter, right? Jesus Christ is our advocate, the helper, the comforter, the one who comes alongside, the rescuer, the deliverer, the delivering ally, the righteous one. Because he paid the price for our sins, then he can intercede for us on the behalf of the